All right, we're going to continue here at the bottom of Bet Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing the Mishnah, and we've broken the Mishnah down into four parts. That is that the beginning of the Mishnah is HaKol Shochatim. Anybody can do Shchita, and that's the Chatchilo. Then we have a second statement in the Mishnah, is Shchitatan Kshera, which is B'diyeved. Then we have the third statement in the Mishnah, which is Chush Mishcharishote V'Katan, which means Avilu B'diyeved, they're no good. And the last statement in the Mishnah, which is Kulan Shishachatu V'Acherim Ro'in Utan Shkitatan Kshira B'diyeved. And if someone is standing over their back and watching over them, then B'diyeved, that Shkita is okay. And Rashi says that that's not referring to Cheresh Shote V'Katan. On the other hand, Tosafot says it is definitely referring to Cheresh Shote V'Katan, but the Gemara wants to know B'Kulan means something else beyond that. Beyond Cheresh Shote V'Katan, something else is also included. So the first attempt at explaining our Mishnah we had from Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba Bar Ula says that we're talking about an individual who is Tameh. And someone who keeps Chulin al Taharat HaKodesh, someone who's makrid even Chulin to keep it at Taharat HaKodesh. So over here we say Lichat Chilo, he's allowed to shech a Chulin animal as long as he uses a long knife, that we allow him to do, and that's what the Kol Shel Chatim is speaking about. Ushchitatan Kshira, talking about a case, he did Shchita on Kodashim. Now Shchita on Kodashim, he shouldn't do it Lichat Chilo, because if there's any problem, he's going to be a metameh, it's a problem of Tuma De'oraita. On the other hand, B'diyeved, im shechat, and he said, Borili, shelo nagati bo, then we say the shechita is kshira, or shechitato kshira. So that was the case of B'diyeved. The third case of cheresh shote v'katan, we say are no good no matter what, because shemi sha'u, shemi yidrisu, shemi yachlidu, we're worried about their ability to complete the shechita in a proper manner. And the last statement of the Mishnah, which is Kulam Shechtu V'Achrim Ronotan, is a case of Tamei B'Mukdashim, someone who was Tamei, who was doing Shechita by the Hekdesh, but to let the Kaman L'Shalei, he's not in front of us for him to ask him, Im Nagaba Basar, not Nagaba Basar. So here we rely on the individual who's standing over him to say, it looks like he did it okay, it looks like he didn't touch it, and therefore B'Diyeved, Shechita is Kshira. That was the explanation of Rabba Bar Ula. Gemara in the end says, Tamei b'mukdashim, the fact that they are b'diyeved okay, we learn it from here. Gemara says we have an Mishnah, explicit Mishnah in Zvachim that tells us that Tmeim are ksherim for Shechita. So Gemara gave two answers to that. One is that here is the Ikar, because here is Ikar Dinei Shechita, and there is just brought Agav, all the other quote-unquote psulim that are not good for Avoda, but they're allowed to do Shechita. Or the second answer, the Gemara says, no, that there was Ikar. Over there by Kodshim, it's the Ikar, because we're dealing with the Psulei Kodshim. And over here was brought down Derech Agav. Since we're talking about Tamei B'chulin, we also brought down Tamei B'mukdashim. So that's the Shita of Rabba Bar Ula. The Gemara is going to, then, today's daf, going to give us five other possibilities of explaining this Mishnah. I sent out a chart so you can see it in a little nicer form, an easier form to see it. But the Gemara is going to have a sidebar first here, which is discussing the issue of Tumah. What type of Tumah are we speaking about when Rabba Bar Ula says that the person is Tamei? First question you have to ask, Tosafot asks already, wait a minute, isn't this Tumah Birshut HaRabim? We're talking about Tumah that happened in the Mikdash. B'lo Yadinan, and we don't know what happened. We know that Sveko Tahor. In general, we say when it's Tumah Birshut HaRabim, Sveko Tahor. So why is there any Shaila over here? Why is there any question? If he's not around, then it should be Tahor automatically, because the Azara is classified as a Rishut HaRabim, and since it's classified as a Rishut HaRabim, we should assume that Sveko, when we don't know, when Leta the Kaman, when he's not in front of us, that he automatically should be classified as being Tahor. So Tosos mentions that, and he says, it must be over here. Hai Safek lo dami l'shar Safekei Tumah. The suffix that we have over here is different than normal suffix tumah, b'shut harabim. Mishum d'rov pa'amim lo yichola zermi liga. Because that the overwhelming evidence in these situations is that he will touch. So we can't assume just because he's not here and he said, we said suffix, automatically it's tahor. No, we have to assume that he did touch, because the ala rov, he will touch. It tells us specifically he didn't touch, then fine. But if we have either achirim or omer al gabon tells us he didn't touch, or he himself says he didn't touch, then we can rely on it. But without that, we're not going to say Sveko Tahor. Or, he says the other options, and we're talking about a Bama, we're not talking about the Mikdash. Right, we'll leave that aside, it's another alternative. The Gemara wants to know now, at the bottom of Bet Amud Bet, Hai Tamei, this Tamei here, the Itma B'mai, how did he become Tamei? Ilema the Itma B'mait. Let's say that he has Tumat Meit. Well, we have a problem now because if he's tamei tumat meit and he's using a chalaf, he's using a knife to shech the animal, we have a principle, b'chlal cheref. When it comes to the tumah in the Torah, by Parshat Chukat, which is this week's parsha, by the Parah Aduma, it tells us that, okay, b'chlal cheref, someone that touches a chlal cheref, amar rachmana, cheref, harehu kechalal. Cheref has a din like a corpse. That the din that is learned out of this in the beginning of Parshat Chukat is that, by tumat amet, the tumah is able to be passed or connected to any metallic object and remain on the same level. Generally by tumah, if you touch an individual or you touch an item, an object, the tumah drops a level from the time of the person who is conveying tumah to the person or the object that is receiving the tumah, there's a drop of a level. So a mate is an avia bota tumah. If a person comes in contact with a mate, he becomes a avia tumah. A person comes in contact with kelim, who's an avia tumah, that keli becomes a rishon tumah. That keli comes in contact with food, the food becomes a sheni l'tumah. It drops a level every time the tumah is conveyed. The exception to that rule is this. B'chalal cherev, that cherev harehu chalal, that the metallic object here takes on the same level of tumah as the tumah being conveyed to it. Therefore, ava tumahu. This individual is an ava tumah because he's tamei mate. And the tameya, the sakin, he makes the sakin a and then the sakin will convey that tumah to the basar, because the sakin is an avatumah, and it'll make the basar rishon the tumah. Now, truthfully, and Rashi points this out, that you don't even need that. Even if you don't invoke the principle of cherev harui chulal, this individual is an avatumah. He touches the knife becomes a rishon the tumah. The Rishon L'tumah that shechs the behemah on Kodshim makes it into a Sheni L'tumah, that would also be problematic. So it's not even, he's saying that the Gemara is doing this even to strengthen the question here. But truthfully, even without this issue of Cherev Harehu Chalal, even if he's Tamei Meit, the problem is that he will convey Tumah to the animal, even if you do it on a drop-down basis, which is, he's an Av, the knife's a Rishon, and the behemah is a Sheni. If you use Cherev Harehu Chalal, then he's an Av, the knife remains an Av, and then the behemah is a rishon l'tumah. Both rishon l'tumah and shein l'tumah by the behemah, which is an ochel, which is basar, are problematic in kochim, and therefore we cannot be talking about a tamei meit here that's shechting this kochim. Ela must be the itmei b'sheretz. So the case here is that he's tamei tumat sheretz. That's one answer. Because if he's tamei tumat sheretz, sheretz is an avatumah, then he is a rishon l'tumah. The rishon l'tumah actually cannot convey tumah to a keli. Therefore, he doesn't affect the knife that he's holding. And then the knife, if it's not tamei, will not affect the basar. So that'll be the solution to the problem, is that is the itmei b'sheretz. Vi bai zema, like you were suggesting, shol, lo'olam, the itmei b'meit. We're talking about tumat meit here. Gon shebadak krumit shel kane. He's using a reed, or a flat, as Rashi calls it, pshutei kliyetz, flat piece of wood, v'shechat ba. So this is something, a keli, that's not mekabel tumah, because it's pshutei kliyetz, and so pshutei kliyetz, right, requires a beit kibul in order to become tamei. There are exceptions to that rule. We saw that at the end of Menachot, when it's a very large table, it's a large surface, then maybe the rabbanon that has a din, or if it's mishamshe adam and mishamshe kilim, those are exceptions to pshutei kliyetz, but here we're talking about a very narrow, small piece of kliyetz, kaneh, that is using to cut and to shech the animal. And since it's not to mekabel tumah, even if he has tameh, if he's tameh b'tumat meit, he cannot convey the tumah to the animal if the knife sits between him and the animal, because the knife is not to mekabel tumah. So that's the case. Kagon shebada krumit shel kaneh b'shachava, detanya, b'chol shel chatin, ben b'tzur, ben b'zuchuchit, ben b'krumit shel kaneh. That the utensil used to do shechita can be a sharp rock, ben b'zuchuchit, it can be sharp glass, ben b'krumit shel kaneh, or it can be a reed. All these items, as long as they are super sharp and there are no p'timot along them, they can be used to do shechita. Toswot over here is a large toswot. Again, raises an issue that he raised in Zbachim, at least on one or two occasions, and in Menachot, I think, once as well. The question of, doesn't the knife that you do the shechita with have to be a kli sharet? If it has to be a kli sharet, we know that the din is that kli sharet are made out of metal. We don't make, we pass them like Rabbi, who says that we don't make kli sharet out of wood. Over here, you're using something to shech the mukdashim, and you're talking about wood. So Tosfos, in the end, comes around and says that The knife does not have to be a kli sharet, but it has to be something that is a kli or something nice. It can't be a piece of junk that you're using to shechlit. It has to be something that is a proper mechubad to bring into the mikdash, but it doesn't necessarily reach the level, the status of kli sharet. And that's why he mentions over here that miu yesh l'tchot lo binen kli yafek hamar. You need a beautiful kli. So that the Harkiva Nela Pechatecha does not ruin Krumit Shalkaneh. We don't demand of this Kli Sharet over here means we don't demand it be a full-fledged, beautiful Kli Sharet. We just require that it be a functional Kli in this sense. And so Tosus creates this category in between Kli Sharet and something that's inappropriate where this knife sits. And it might be classified as a Kli Sharet, but it's not held to the same standard of Kli Sharet that all other Kli Sharet are held to. Now the Gemara is going to introduce the next possibility of explaining our Mishnah. That was the explanation of Rabbah Barula on our Mishnah. Now Abaye is going to make an attempt at explaining our Mishnah. Abaye says, Amar Hochiktani. This is what our Mishnah means. So again, remember, there are always four parts to the Mishnah, and he's going to have to explain all those four parts. Now he starts with first, which is, Akol Shochatin. That the Chatzila Yelatu Dishkita, Vafilu Kuti. Even a kuti. Now, kuti over here is used in the true sense of a kuti. Sometimes, because of the redactions in the Gemara, kuti means a non-Jew. That's not what it's speaking about here. Kuti literally means the shomronim, someone from the shomor makuti. So that kuti can do shchita. B'med dvarim amurim, when is that true? Ki Yisrael omeid al gabav. That's when a Yisrael is standing over him, watching what he does. Aval, yotzei v'nichnas. If the Jew is simply coming in and out, and there's this aspect of mirta, there's this aspect of fear there, that's not enough. Lo yishchot, then he shouldn't do shchita v'chatchila. V'im shachat, if you already did shchita, and the Jew was yotzei v'nichnas, but he didn't see him actually do the shchita, it wasn't omed al gabav, then chotech kazayit basar, cuts off a kazayit basar from this behemah, v'notein lo, and he gives it to this kuti, achalo, if the kuti eats it, mutar, lechol mishchitato, then the shchita is a good shchita. Lo achalo, if he does not eat it, asur lechol mishchitato, then you're not allowed to consume or eat this shchita. So the basic principle that's being laid out here is that we believe that a kuti that is machzik in a mitzvah, kuti that does a mitzvah and accepts a mitzvah like shchita, he does it as good as Israel. He's perfectly good, he's perfectly okay. The problem we have with the kuti is that they do not hold of the din of lifnei iver lo titen mechshol. They do not darshan lifnei iver lo titen mechshol like the chachamim, which means that you're not allowed to give isur to other people. So whereas, if he does shchita, then we know he does it properly. The problem is that he might have made a mistake or something might have gone wrong during the shchita, and then he won't worry about giving it to you to eat, because he only believes that the problem is for himself, not for anyone else. So if you're omer al-gabav and you see for sure they did a good shchita, then you can eat from it. Because we know that they do shchita properly. And if you saw that he did it properly, we have nothing to worry about. And that's a kol shochatin. On the other hand, if you're just yotzei v'nichnas and you didn't actually see him do it, then he tries his best to do the shchita. But if something went wrong with the shchita, he's not going to let you know that. He won't tell you that because he's not worried about you eating it and violating lifnei iver lo titen mechshol. So over there we say, l'chatchila, don't eat from it. Bidyeved, if you weren't there when he did the shchita, we have a test to overcome that problem. What's the test to overcome a problem? Have him eat from it. We know that he won't eat from it if the shchita was problematic, even though he's willing to give it to you. So we feed him a kzait of the meat. If he eats it, then we know that his shchita was good. Because if he did it, and he's willing to eat from it, he did a good shchita, and you can eat from it as well. If, on the other hand, he won't eat from it, then we worry about it. Because then we worry that his shchita wasn't good. And then we're worried about lifnei iver lo titen mechshol. So that explained the first two statements of the Mishnah. L'chatchila, omer al gabav, you can eat from his shchita. Bidyeved, if he did not, were not there or present when he actually did it. Nevertheless, there's a check after the fact, which is, if he eats from it, then we allow you to consume it as well. If he's not willing to eat from it, then we say, we can't go along with it because we're worried about lifnei iver lo titen mechshol. Then the next statement of the Mishnah, which is chutz, mecher shoteh v'katan, da'afilu di'eved nami. Even b'di'eved, they're no good. Lo, shema yisha'u, shema yidrasu, shema yachlidu. Maybe they would do any one of these items, as we discussed yesterday. V'kulan shishachato. And now the last statement of the Mishnah, which is anybody who does shchita and someone standing on meid al-gabav, then it's a good shchita, shchita tok shira b'di'eved. Ahai. And what part of the Mishnah is this going on? If it's going to Chereshotev Katan, the previous statement, Allah Koi. That's what it was speaking about. The Mishnah left off with that. Then the Mishnah should have continued. V'im shachato. It should connect from the Chereshotev Katan to the next statement in the Mishnah. V'im shachato. Again, according to Rashi, this means that Chereshotev Katan, Omer al Gabav, does not work at all. And the Gemara is looking for another item that it's connected to because the Mishnah didn't connect them. According to Tosafot, if it wanted to include Chereshotev Katan beyond other things, it should, besides other things, or except for alone, then it should have said Im Shachato. That says Kulan means Chereshotev Katan plus something else. What's that something else? Im Shachato mi bailet. Ella Akuti. It's talking about Akuti. Haramart, you already said Kisrael Omeid al-Gabav. That was the first statement in the Mishnah. When Omeid al-Gabav, Shachit afilu l'chadchilo, and you can do even l'chadchilo. You know, that's not a bidyev situation, that's a l'chadchilo situation. Gemara leaves it as a kasho. For Abaye does not have an explanation for the fourth section of the Mishnah, which is the case of Omeid al-Gabav. Because Abaye already explained Omeid al-Gabav as the ratio of the Mishnah as the first case where it's l'chadchilo. So that can't be the case that we're talking about here, that is Bidiyevit, and therefore the Gemara leaves that as an open-ended kasho. Now we're going to have our third attempt at explaining the Mishnah, which comes from Rovo. Amar Rovo, v'yotzei v'nichnas l'chadchila lo. He first challenges Abaye's position. Abaye's position is that you need to be omer al-gabav for it to be good. Yotzei v'nichnas is not sufficient in order to create mirtat over here. Vatnan. The Rebbe challenges Abaye and says, don't we have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah? I meniach oved kochavim bechanuto. Person who leaves an oved kochavim in his store. Yisrael yotzei v'nichnas, and the Jews going in and out. We're talking about open barrels of wine there. Then we don't worry about the problem of the ayin nasech, because mutar, because we say mirtat. He's afraid to touch it. He's not sure when the balabite's going to walk in. So he's too scared to overstep his bounds in that situation. Rebbe says, hotam miktani meniach. Over there, the Mishnah doesn't say, meniach, you should leave the goy in charge. It says, ha meniach, tani, didyevet, that's bidyevet. If he already left him, then it's okay. So when it says, elam ha'ocha, alright, I have a proof for you, don't worry about that. Me'ocha, from another statement in Avodah Zarah, which is, ein hashomer tzarich liot yoshev mishamer. We're talking about in a city where a person has his wine stored, then you don't have to have a shomer sitting at the front door all times. Ela afo pishi yotzev nichnas, even though he comes in and out, mutar. Again, in that instance, it's mutar because of the issue of mirtat, that we assume that there's a level of fear that is associated with someone overstepping their bounds, coming in here and violating the space where he's not supposed to be or touching things that he's not supposed to be touching. So there you see, yotzev nichnas is enough. If yotzev nichnas is enough, then why did Abaye in the previous statement and explaining our Mishnah say that you need Omer al-Gabav? So Rava says, no, I'll explain to the Mishnah now. I'll explain it based on my understanding here. Elam Rava, hachitani hakol shochatin. What does it mean that anybody, the first statement in the Mishnah, anybody can do shchita afilu l'chadchila? That's afilu kuti, even a kuti. B'med v'rim amrim b'Yisrael yotzei v'nichnas. That's a case when the Israel is going in and out. Aval ba umitza'o shishachat. If he found the item already nishchat, chotech tzayit basar v'notein lo. Then he cuts up a piece of meat, gives it to him. Achalo, if he eats it, mutar lechol mishketoto. Then you can also consume from this animal. Lo achalo, if he refuses, he declines eating it, then asur lechol mishketoto, because then we worry about a problem of lifnei yiver l'tem mikshol, that he's willing to feed you isur and not eat the isur himself. Chutz mecherishotev katan. It's the third case in the Mishnah, which comes to exclude cherishotev katan. Dafilu di'evet nami lo. Even b'di'evet they're no good. Shemi shau, shemi idrisu, shemi yachlidu. Because of all the chashashot we have by them. Now, the last statement in the Mishnah, v'kulan shishachatu, ahai. In case of kulan shachatu and somebody standing over them, that's kasher b'di'evet, what's that case? Ilei ma'cherishotev katan. If it's not ma'cherishotev katan, Allah koi. That's what the statement the Mishnah was speaking about already. Vim shachato mi baile. It should continue that if they did a shchita, the fact that it doesn't connect between them shows you that that's not what it's referencing. Ela akuti. Must be going back on the kuti. Hamart, you said already, afilo yotzei v'nichnas shachit l'chadchila. Even yotzei v'nichnas is enough to be shachit l'chadchila. Why do you need the guy standing on his back over him to be even bidyevet kasher? That can't be the case. The Gemara leaves that as a kasher as well. Rava's explanation of the Mishnah is also difficult in the fourth bava, in the fourth case, and the Gemara leaves that as a kasha. Same issue that Abaye has, because Rava's really same sheet as Abaye, just amended. He lowers the level, one level. Right. He only demands Yotzei v'nichnas, he does not demand that he actually be there. Tosfos asks over here, if Rava compares the Hema, that's Nishkat here, to the Yayin Nesech, By Yayin Nesach, we don't ask you to go test the Yayin Nesach or do anything with the Yayin Nesach. We said it's mutar for you to drink it when you have a Yotze V'Nichnas. So how come over here, by Roba, when there's no Yotze V'Nichnas and we assume that the Shechita is okay, why do we make you go and test it with him to make sure? Right. There you can't test it. So that's the answer that was given. The difference is that in one place you can test it, in one place you can't test it. So over here, since by the Kuti we have the opportunity to test it, says that go ahead and test it. We're not going to let you just rely on the fact that it's okay. That's what he says. If you have an option to test it, go ahead and test it. Even though technically in a similar case by Yayin Nesach, he wouldn't require the test. We assume that it's okay. Nevertheless, over here, if you have the option to test it, go ahead and test it. All right, so now we have our fourth attempt at explaining the Mishnah, and that's from Ravashi. Ravashi Amar Achitani. This is what it means. Ravashi goes off in a different direction. Now he says, HaKol Shachotin, anybody can do Shkita, Ba'afilu Yisrael Mumar. Even a Yisrael Mumar. Now what is this? Yisrael Mumar, it's someone who is muhzak to violate a certain Aveira. What Aveira are we talking about here? That's from Mumar Lamai. What's the Mumar we're talking about here? LeAchol Nevelot LeTeavon. This is someone who eats non-kosher out of desire. Someone that who cannot control himself. He has this taiva, and he'll eat non-kosher because of that. Uke de Rava, principle of Rava. The Amar Rava, Yisrael Mumar, Ochel Nevelot LeTeavon. Yisrael Mumar, who eats Nevelot, not because he wantonly violates the Aveira of Nevela, but because he loves food, and he has no patience to wait around, or it's too expensive to buy the kosher stuff, so he eats it. Then he says, "Bodek sakin." You're allowed to check the knife, vinotenlo, and then give it to him. Umutar le'chol mishkitato, and then you can eat his shkita. Aval lo badok. If you didn't check the knife, vinatanlo lo yishkot, then he shouldn't do shkita. Vim shachat. If he did do the shkita, bodek sakino acharav. You check the knife afterwards. Nimtza sakino yafir. If you find that the knife is clean and smooth and no problems with it, then mutar le'chol mishkitato. Then you can eat from that shkita. Vimav. And if not, you can't eat from the shkita. The underlying premise here is that a mumar the teyavon, if it takes no more effort, will opt to eat kosher. If he requires no extra effort on his behalf, no extra exertion on his behalf, he'll eat kosher. He has nothing wrong with the kosher meat as long as it doesn't take any more from him, any more money, any more effort. So over here, if you check the knife already and hand it to him, and he's going to do shkita, for no more effort, he can have kosher meat, and he'll do that. He'll eat the kosher meat. But on the other hand, if you hand him a knife without checking it, he's not going to bother to check the knife. He's just going to do the shkita and to eat it, because he doesn't really care so much about it. So our assumption, or the assumption is that we're talking about the mumar the teyavon, in an instance where you checked everything, you did all the effort and the work, all he has to do is the shkita. In that case, we will rely on him to do the shkita l'chatchila, because there's no downside for him. He'll eat kosher where he has an option. If he has kosher and nevela and takes no more effort, he'll eat kosher. No problem. Problem is when he has an option and it's easier to go to the nevela side, then he'll take that option. So if you don't check the knife, we don't rely on him to check the knife because he won't do it properly. In that instance, then the shkita is only b'dieved kasher if you check the knife afterwards. Check the knife afterwards and the knife is still in perfect condition and smooth and no catches on it, then we say he did a good shkita because he didn't do anything. He didn't make any more effort. He just did shkita. On the other hand, if you check the knife, you can't check the knife afterwards, or there's a problem with the knife afterwards, then we are chosesh that he didn't check it beforehand, and then we worry about it. So that would explain the first two bavot of the Mishnah. All right, so Tosfos asks your question. Right, so that's very good. So Tosfos asks your question. Okay, as far as the effort beforehand and checking the knife, you did it for him. But what about during the shkita? If something went wrong during the shkita, then how could you rely on this individual? Because he'll eat it afterwards, and you'll have no way of knowing. There's no evidence afterwards. So Tosfos asks, first Tosfos on the Amud, it says, "Lo chashin and shemi shehevi dros, to lo shavi katera v'achili sura, v'afilo lo yuchal mimeno, d'chayish alifnei iver lo titei mekshol." He does. He is kosher for iver alifnei iver lo titei mekshol. Ofein ein acher omer al gabav, v'lo yotzei v'nichnas. Aval kuti yesh lo din acher. The Yisrael Yotzei v'nichnas lo bai b'dikat sakin de mirtat. So he says that the difference between an Yisrael Mumar and a Kuti is, by the Kuti, he has mirtat. He has fear. So he has fear, you don't have to check the knife. But he doesn't hold the Ne'iver. So you have to worry about the fact that he messed up and he's willing to feed you Yisur. By the Yisrael Mumar, it's the other way around. He has no mirtat. He's not afraid of you because he thinks, listen, you know, they think I'm a Yisrael. I'm not going to be afraid. They think I do good shkita. He doesn't have any chavim in his head that we're going to check up on him because they just think he's a regular Yisrael. So based on that, he says, he has no mirtat about using a bad knife. So therefore, we have to check the knife beforehand. On the other hand, he is choshesh for lifnei iver lo titei mishol. He does not wantonly violate other Averot in the Torah. So the other Averot, Lifnei Iver, right, for his own benefit, he'll do it. But for someone else, if he violates Lifnei Iver, he won't do it. Tosfos separates between the Kuti and the Yisrael here that we are Choshesh for what they will not be Choshesh. In the case of the Kuti, he's not Choshesh for Lifnei Iver, so we are Choshesh for that. In the case of the Yisrael, he's not Choshesh for the Sakin of the Mirtat. He has no fear, but he is Choshesh for Lifnei Iver. So therefore, we check the knife to overcome that problem. Now, the Gemara continues with Rav Ashi's explanation and says, okay, then Chutz mi Cheres Shote veKatan, how does he explain that? Like everyone else did. Now, the last statement in the Mishnah, Kulan Sheshachtu, when Omer Al Gabav, what are we talking about? Ahai, what's the case here? If you're not a Cheres Shote veKatan, the Mishnah just was speaking about that. V'im Shachato, it should have been the continuation. It should have been a Vav Chibur continuation. It doesn't. Hello? Yisrael Mumar. Talking about Yisrael Mumar. Well, Yisrael Mumar, the Badok Sakin v'natan lo. If you check the knife, that's enough. What do you mean you have to be standing over it? Okay, what's the case? You didn't check the knife. So eat the sakin. If the sakin's around, leave the k. Check it after the fact. Because we said after the fact, you can check the knife. You don't have to be standing over him. Ashto. The let of the sakin, the sakin's not around. Just because you're watching, what does that tell you about the knife? Maybe there was a problem, maybe there was a catch in the knife, and just because you're watching him doesn't mean that you're going to know there was a catch in the knife and see that it ripped the simanim instead of cutting through the simanim. So kasha, again we leave Rav Ashi with a problem in explaining this final bubble of the Mishnah.
Do you think that you can, based on the Tosfos, just say you can apply the same test then? There's a catch in the knife, so...
These are very, very small catches, and we're worried about ikur that it pulls out the siman. So that's where you have to test with your nail. You have to run your finger across. I mean, these are very, very subtle types of tests, not something where it's visible to the eye and you would know or feel it when you're doing the shkita. This is Rav Ashi. This is the third explanation. Except for Rabba Barula, was the first explanation who had an explanation for this final bubble of the Mishnah. So far, Abai, Rav, and Rav Ashi's explanations do not have it. They all left with a kasha on this last bubble of the Mishnah. Now we're going to enter final explanation of Ravina. Ravina's explanation splits into two parts. It's Ravina and then the Ikad Amre of Ravina. And Ravina will also have a way to explain this fourth section of the Mishnah. Now, Ravina Amar Hachitani, this is what it means. Hakol Shochatin means Hakol Mumchim Shochtim. So Mumchim, anybody's a Mumchim, Dinesh Shita, he can do Shkita. Mumchim, Va'afo Pish Ein Muchzakim. This is a Mumchim, even though he's not a Muchzak. Now, Muchzak is someone who has done Shkita already. A number of times we've seen him do Shkita, and we see that he does a good Shkita. So here is someone's Mucha. He knows the Halachot of Shkita. He's well-versed in the Halachot of Shkita. He just hasn't, we haven't seen him do it in front of us. He doesn't have a Chazaka that he's done it. But Meir, Dorim Amunim, Shiodim Bo, Shiodalomar, Hilchot Shkita. If we absolutely know that he knows Hilchot Shkita, then it's fine, the Chatzkila. Aval Enyo Dimbo Shiodalomar, Hilchot Shkita. If you don't know, now Tosa says this literally means you don't know. If you know for sure he doesn't know Hilchot Shkita, then he can't do the Shkita, then he's out. So it has to be that we don't know what his din is. So lo yishchot, he shouldn't do shkita. V'im shachat, if he already did shkita, budkim oto. We check him out afterwards. Im yodeh lomar hilchot shkita, mutar lechom shkitato. If he's knowledgeable in the halachot of shkita, then we eat from his shkita. V'im lav, asur lechom shkitato. If not, then you cannot eat from his shkita, because we're worried about him not knowing the dinei shkita, and he's doing shkita without knowing the dinei shkita. Chutz, mecheres shote veKatan, he'll read like everybody else. Da'il debi eved nami lo, even b'di'evet's no good. Shemi sha'u, shemi drisu, shemi yichlidu. V'kulan, now the last piece of our Mishnah. V'kulan sheshachtu, and someone's standing over them. Ahai, what's this going on? Ilei mecheres shote veKatan ala koi. If you have mecheres shote veKatan, that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. V'im shachatomi ba'ilei, it should have continued on. So Ella she'ain mumchim. So wait, if he's not a mumcheh, not literally he's not a mumcheh, but we don't know that he's a mumcheh. But bodkim oto sagi. We just said the test when we don't know if he's a mumcheh is to ask him after the fact. When I said delete the command to lintike, he's not here to ask him. So the case here was that he came in, did shkita. We do not know if he's a mumcheh or he's not a mumcheh. Someone was watching him and looked at him. And he looked like he did a very perfect job of shkita. Looked like he knew what he was doing. And then he leaves. So we have no chance to ask him whether he really knows Hilchot Shkita. We have this other individual watched him and said, listen, it looked like a good Shkita to me. As far as I could tell from my perspective and standing over him that it looked like a good Shkita, then b'di'evid, we allow you to eat from it because we can't ask him if he knows Hilchot Shkita because he's out of the picture now. So that's one explanation of Ravina. Correct. Right, that is the chazaka that's mentioned here, that chazaka that kol ha'nimtza'im etzlo shkita are knowledgeable about Shechita. So even though that generally is the principle, we have the option to ask him, we're going to ask. We're not just going to assume that that's the case, because, like you said before, if we have the option to be Mevarer, we'd rather be Mevarer than be Somech on that principle. Now, the Gemara gives an Ikadamri to Ravina. There's an alternative to Ravina's Pshat, which is, as a case here, is a kol shochatin, anybody who can do shechita, a kol muchzakim shochatim. Anybody who has in front of a shechta two or three times and we see they know how to do shechita, then lechatchila there can be shech muchzakim, afo pishein mumchim. If they've done a good job in front of us, even though they're not mumchim, even though they don't know all of hilchot shechita, but we know that they've done it properly, then we assume that they continue to do it properly. But may the very memorim wenzab, sheshachato lifaneinu bet begimul panim, that he shechted in front of us two or three times, veloni talif, and we see he didn't get tired, and he didn't have a problem of shia, see that he is physically capable of doing the shechita, and he does a good shechita. So that muchzak, that's good enough. Aval, on a case, shelo shechad lefaneinu bet begimul panim, he didn't shecht in front of us two or three times, lo yishchot. Then we say, don't do shechita lechatkila, shem yitalef. Because we're afraid he might get tired, he might not have the physical capability to get through the shechita. And therefore we say, don't eat from the shechita, don't have him do shechita. V'im shechat, if he already did the shechita, v'amar bori li, shelo nitalefti, he said, I'm certain that I did not hesitate along the way, I didn't have shia, I didn't get tired. Then shkitato kshira. Then he's neman to say shkitato kshira. Chutz, micheret shoteh v'katan. How do we explain this part? Afilu d'yevet, no. Shema yishau, shema yidrasu, shema yachlilu. The same way that everybody else explained it. V'kulan, shishachato. That last piece of the Mishnah where omed al-gabab, ahai. What's that going on? Ilema cheret shoteh v'katan. It's being about a cheret shoteh v'katan. Koi. That's what the Mishnah was discussing. Then it should have continued on. He had to have the Vav Chibur and continue on the statement of the mission. The fact that it doesn't means we're gone into another new topic. You're talking about a case where a person's not muchzak. You already said what the test is. If he's not a muchzak, the test is, all he has to say is that I'm sure that I did it this way. If he says that, we don't need someone standing over him to watch him. We just, if he says it, we believe him. Now, he's not in front of us to ask him if he was mitalef or that he's hesitated. So there we are, somech, on the person that was standing on top of him over his shoulder, who says that he didn't look like he hesitated to me. He was not mitalef. Since he was watching him, that's enough to protect us. B'di'eved, but we can't ask him to check it out. So now the Gemara goes through and says, okay, let's understand all of these opinions. Ravina, v'rabba bar'ula. So Ravina and Rabba Barula, which is Rabba Barula is the first opinion, and Ravina was the latter two of the opinions that we brought here. You can see it in the chart. Right? They do not hold like Abaye, Rava, and Ravashi. Why don't they hold like Abaye, Rava, and Ravashi? It's very easy. Ravina and Rabba Barula have an explanation for the fourth section of the Mishnah. Abaye, Rava, and Ravashi do not have an explanation for the fourth section of the Mishnah. So that's why they're not going to hold of those opinions. It's easy to understand that. That's what the Gemara says now. Ravina ver Rabba Barula do not hold like Abaye, Rava, and Ravashi. Lo Amrei. Mishum de Kashalu v'chulan. They have a problem with the statement of the Mishnah of Chulan because they can't answer that question. Kulu, everybody else here, does not hold like Rabba Barula, which is the opinion, first opinion, Lo Amrei. Lahach Lishna. Because according to the Lishna, Damart, Hocha Ikar, that over here in Chulin is the Ikar of this Mishnah. Adarabba, Hotam Ikar. That if you according to the Lishna, it says that over here is the Ikar and the other ones brought down on a Gav, they're going to say no. Over there is the Ikar, the Bekotshim Kai. And therefore, why did you bring it down here at all? The Hach Lishna Damart, Hotam Ikar. According to the Lishna, it says that by Kotshim was the Ikar Mishnah. Vacha Aida Tani Tamei Bechulin, Tani Nami Tamei Mugdashim. Tamei Bechulin Gufe, Lo Itztri Chule. This whole idea of Chulin, that a person does a Shechita Betuma Bechulin, Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh, Lav Ki Kodesh Domi. Even if you say Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh, they don't have the same status as real Kodesh. They're in their own category. That own category. You don't need to tell me anything about Tamei. To make and do shechita on Chulin Shenaseh HaTorat HaKodesh. You don't need a Mishnah to teach me that Chiddush. That's something we would have known on our own. So that's why nobody holds like Rabba Barula, because Rabba Barula's Chiddush here is that it's about Chulin Shenaseh HaTorat HaKodesh. It has a din like Kodesh, and therefore Tameh maybe shouldn't have done it. So Mishnah comes to teach us that it's okay, but Sakin Arukah, it's okay. That Chiddush, we don't need that. That's why everybody else doesn't hold like Rabba Barula, because we would have known that anyway. Nobody thinks that Chulin Shenaseh HaTorat HaKodesh is real Kodesh. It's like Kodesh. If it's like Kodesh, then it's also good enough to use a long knife. And you don't need a Mishnah to teach me that din.
You say that they all hold that the Mishnah
is the Ikar. Correct.
So the best case scenario view would be Kulchanatha.
And that's, we don't need to, correct. Kulu Kiravina lo amre. Nobody holds like Ravina, Ravina being the last case here. Lahach lishna damar mumchim in shem minuchim lo. According to the first lashon, which is talking about mumchim, rov mitzvim el tzushkita mumchim hein. Rov the people show up to do shkita mumchim hein. So they have a case in a Mishnah, it's talking about it ain't a mumche, where we don't know if he's a mumche. That's not. Ala rov, it's a mumche. Why do you have to ask? Why do we have to worry about this? It's not something that we worry about. Ach nishan damar muchzakim. The second lashon of Ravina that says it's muchzakim in shein muchzakim lo, la'lufe lo chashinan. We're not choshish in general that people are not going to have the strength to get through a shkita. That's not something that's common. Someone who comes to the shkita, in general, people are capable, able to get through the shkita, and therefore we don't worry about that. We're not choshish for that. Rava lo amar ki abaye. Rava doesn't hold like abaye ki kish kushya. Like his question. His question abaye is, why do you need omid al gabab? Yotze v'nichnas is sufficient. That's why Rava didn't hold like abaye. Abaye lo amar ki Rava. Why doesn't abaye hold like Rava? Hotam lo nogo, hocha noga. No, there's a difference. Over there, in the case by Avodah Zarah, by the Ayin Nesek, lo naga, he never touched it. Over here, we know for certain that he touched it. We know that he did it. We know he did the shechita. You're one step past that fact. He already did the shechita. So if you're already at the point where he's doing the shechita, we want someone watching him. It's not a case where we don't know if he did it. He did do it. He already did shechita, so we're a step beyond it. Ravashi lo amar ki tarvayu. Ravashi does not hold like Abayin Rava. Because the assumption in Abaye and Rova's case is that Kutim, whatever mitzvot they kept, they were good, full-fledged Jews, and they did it perfectly. That's an assumption that the Kutim were Geri Emet, that they actually converted and they were fine and good in the mitzvot. He says, no, Geri Arayotim, they were forced by the lions that were running through the Shomron, that they converted for ulterior motives because they thought that would protect them, not because they really kept the mitzvot. They were nitgayer and worshipped the Avodah Zarah at the same time. Abaye lo amar ki Ravashi. Abaye doesn't hold like Ravashi, lo svirle ha de Rava. He doesn't hold this din of Rava, that mumer le te'avon, if you check the knife, that it's good. Ela Rava, my time lo amar ki shmaite. Right, Ravashi is using Rava to bring his case down. So why doesn't Rava just say like Ravashi? So Mar says, you're right, Enochanami, Rava could have said like Ravashi, Ella, the Dvarav Dabai Kamar, Velelo Svirle. He was just saying, listen, Abai, if you want to explain the Mishnah this way, you got to explain it with Yotze V'nichnas, not a case of Omid al Gabav. Because Yotze V'nichnas is sufficient over here. So the fact that you have the option of Yotze V'nichnas, Rava is just a subset of Abai's Shita, but in reality, Rava holds like Ravashi, because Ravashi is using Rava's own Shita to explain the Mishnah, and Rava will hold up that also. That'll be Rava's real explanation of the Mishnah, which is like Ravashi. The reason he gave the alternative explanation is because he just wanted to show Abai, if you're going to explain it, you must explain it this way. Okay, we'll stop over here.